When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right, we're back here at Gamertag Radio. Lots and lots of reviews and a couple surprises coming up very soon. Tune in. But yeah, this is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me on this special episode of Gamertag Radio, the one and only from the Throwdown Show, and also writer at Tom's Guide, the one and only Tony Polanco. What's up, Tony?
I'm back with another one, man. Thank you for having me on. The year of the ninja continues.
Yes, I think this is the final of the saga.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, so it's appropriate that you asked me to come back, because obviously we talked about Ninja Gaiden Ragebound and Shinobi Art of Vengeance. So very appropriate that we're here for Ninja Gaiden 4.
Yeah, yeah. And I know we talked in the past. Other games, you know, Streets of Rage and a couple other ones, you know what I'm saying? So I'm glad that you're back, Tony, man.
Yeah, thank you, man.
So definitely, we should definitely talk about this, man. But first, we got some sad news that the creator of Ninja Gaiden from way, way back, Itagaki, passed away a couple days ago, actually. So right before the release of Ninja Gaiden 4, I was like, man, the timing is just weird, right?
Yeah,
where were you when you heard about it?
Like most people, I just saw it like on my news feed, because I believe they announced it like early morning Japan. So when I woke up, because I'm always checking the news, obviously, because I'm a reporter, and that's the first thing I saw. I'm like, oh, Tomonobu Itagaki passed away. And what was wild about it, not only the timing, but you know, because we don't know what his cause of death is, but he knew his end was coming, because somebody that he trusted, you know, posted on his behalf his final message. And it was a really good message. He was basically saying, it's like, you know, like, yes, I know I've caused some trouble, you know, and all that for some people, but I always stuck to my convictions. And he said the only thing he regretted was that he didn't get to do one more game for the fans. Like, this guy was very passionate. Like, yes, he was kind of controversial in his own way, but like when you played his games, you could tell there was a clear vision behind it. Like with Ninja Gaiden, because remember, we played the old school Ninja Gaiden, right? He didn't make those, but he brought it back. And I love how he reinvented the series, but still kept that like core challenge of it, you know? And obviously the Ninja Gaiden that most people know today is Itagaki's Ninja Gaiden, which obviously we're going to be talking about today. He didn't have anything to do with 4, but that is part of his legacy. So yeah, very, very upsetting news on my show. We had a little tribute to him as well, because it wasn't just, you know, Ninja Gaiden. He also did Dead or Alive, which is an amazing fighting game franchise. You know, like, mm-hmm. I still argue that his Dead or Alive games are the best ones. I know people like 5, that the game that came out right after, you know, 4, which was his last one. But to me, I'm like, those first 4, especially 2, fantastic games.
2 was amazing. 2 was really, really good. Yeah. I know he did. Did he worked on the volleyball game? But didn't he
Yeah, he did the Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball. He did those.
Yeah.
You know, no, Getagaki kept it real. He's like, listen, my games are sexy and violent. This is what I like doing. I'm like, keep it real, bro.
Yeah. Nah. But so a lot of people don't know about this, but 17 years ago, I had him on the show. Like, I had an opportunity to interview him. It was only like one question, but hey, it was something, you know, and it was for Ninja Gaiden 2. For those who don't know, Ninja Gaiden 2 was an Xbox 360 exclusive. So Xbox and Team Ninja always have that relationship, even from the original launch of Xbox, you know, with Ninja Gaiden and also the launch of Dead Alive for that console too. So I'm going to play it here on the show because I think it's a great way for us to pay respects, pay homage to a legend. And we're going to play it right now.
前作を開発された時にね、こうハードのパワーがね不足したりして、やりたいことができないような制限が、まずあったのかどうか、でもしあったとしたら、それが今となって360となって、そのできるようになったんでしょうか。忍法だよね。前作の忍法っていうのは。
Yeah, there are tons of those kind of things. I think one of the biggest ones is the Ninpo magic attacks. This was something I felt really strong about even since the first game, because a ninja's, you know, magic should be impressive and should be powerful. And I told the team that I wanted them to use every resource they could in the first game to achieve that. But, you know, I think we can all agree that while they're okay, they didn't reach their full potential. You know, I even said, even though our game runs at 60 frames a second, even back then, I told them that you could make it 30 frames a second only during the Ninpo, just so we have extra machine power to work with. And even despite that, we couldn't get it where we wanted. So now the 360 in Ninja Gaiden 2 is allowing me to create Ninpo in the way I originally envisioned, and that's really thrilling for me. Another thing that the power of the 360 has allowed us to do is with the AI routines. In fact, we have a feature, as you're no doubt aware, where you can lop off enemies' body parts. But we're not just doing it as a visual element or to say, hey, look, we can do this. You know, here's some violence for you. We're tying that directly into the gameplay, because when an enemy has been dismembered, their AI routine completely changes. And this can be justified in a psychological sense by saying, you know, if they are injured, they no longer can really survive as a warrior, so they become much more desperate. They no longer worry about protecting themselves. They're going to come after you with full strength. So an enemy that's lost a body part is actually going to be a more formidable and a scarier opponent than one that's fully functional. But AI routines are one of the most processor-intensive of all of the routines that we have going at one time. So having the 360 enabled us to have the enemy's AI changing depending on the situation, how they're injured. So I think you've all seen the desperate attack of the enemy when he grabs you and uses a bomb and blows himself up. But you should know that that's not the only one. So be wary when you actually do start playing the game.
All right, so Tony, the question that I asked him, because I know you watched the video, yeah. I asked him, and shout out to also Cyberathlete, he also helped me out with this. I asked, does the Xbox 360 remove the restrictions you had with the original Xbox in the making of Ninja Gaiden? If so, what were those limitations that restricted you from making the Ninja Gaiden that you had envisioned? So when you play 2 compared to 1, graphic looks, of course, looks different. Playable a little bit different too. Camera was a little bit better than the original too, man. But it was interesting hearing his answer after I asked that question. So what are your thoughts about the short interview before we go through the review?
Yeah, no, it was cool because I liked how, like, you know, when the original Xbox came out, that was like the most, like, I think it was the most powerful console of that time, right? Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. It still had its limits. So, you know, it was cool that you asked him what was the 360 able to do? And he said, it's like, you know, they had to, like, when when you use your ninja magic in the Xbox version, they have to lower it, the frame rate, to 30. But with the 360, it's just 60 frames the whole time. I know he was very, very insistent that this game needs to be 60 frames a second because, you know, there's so much action going on. So I enjoyed that. And then he also dropped a bit about how, you know, because in most games, if you like disable an enemy, right, like they're not as dangerous anymore. But it's like, no, if you cut off a limb, the enemy's going to be more dangerous, you know, and I think that's like more realistic. It's like, you know, when you got an animal that's like, you know, in a corner and stuff and it doesn't have anywhere else to go, it's like it's going to lash out even harder. So the enemies are like that, man. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was really cool. And again, even when you see the interview, like the typical Itagaki style, he's just chilling, laid back with his sunglasses on.
And always with a jacket.
So that was really cool insight into like how he was able to transcend the limitations of the original Xbox on the 360. So that was dope.
Yeah, yeah. No, shout out to Xbox for giving me the opportunity way back in the days. And I wish I had an opportunity to meet him at these events like E3, but I never got the opportunity at all, man. So that was the closest right there, you know. So let's talk about Ninja Gaiden 4, man. How hype were you when you heard the announcement about Ninja Gaiden 4 coming back? Because 3 wasn't a great way how to end the series, you know, like it wasn't good at all, 3. Really enjoyed 1 and 2.
Yeah, 1 and 2 were, you know, classic, obviously. Yeah, like you, I didn't really like 3, but enough time had passed between now and 3 where I was excited. Like, if they would have announced 4, like maybe a year or two after 3, I'm like, we'll see about that, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, so not only did we get that, but we had Ninja Gaiden Ragebound. So I was already in that, like, Ninja Gaiden mindset. But no, I was pretty excited about it. And now, obviously, having played and completed the game, it's like it lived up to the hype. There was just a little bit of trepidation because I was like, is this going to be another 3, you know? Because I know some people were like, oh, there's a new protagonist. How's that going to work? I wasn't really worried about that. I was more worried, like, is this going to be more like 3? But I think this game does a really good balance of, like, you know, being difficult but not being too crazy. And there's also, like, accessibility modes and stuff if you just want to enjoy it. But, I was pretty excited for it, and it lived up to the hype, man. So what did you think? Were you, like, really hyped going into it?
Oh yeah, I was always hype. I wasn't really too picky. Like, I know a lot of people were picking about the new character, the way how you play. Some people thought it was going to be too easy and a bunch of other stuff. I really don't care. I didn't really care about that at that time because I saw the trailer. I got excited. I'm like, oh man, the return of Ninja Gaiden. Plus, hearing that Platinum Games was also part of this project, I'm like, oh man, Platinum, come on, you know it's going to be sick, you know. So I'm glad that they decided to do that, to work with another studio, also partner with them to create. I think this is a up there with 1 and 2. I find it better than those two games, actually, in my opinion, because there was a lot of new stuff in there. I found it it was a lot of fun. It was challenging. It wasn't, you know, I think the video that a lot of people got to see during the preview, that's like the first few stages. Of course, it's going to be easy. But later in the game, bro, that game is no joke. Plus, when you finish a game, you unlock other things too. Like, you unlock the highest difficulty, Master Ninja.
Yeah.
There's also leaderboards there. You can see, you know, how other people are doing around the world. You can see your friends in there too, you know, compete. That's the thing I love about Ninja Gaiden Black. Back in those days, they added leaderboard to compete with other people. Like, that was really cool to see, you know. So adding that in this game, all that, I think made the game, the package, a lot better than the previous ones, you know what I'm saying? Because the first one, you're finished and you're done, right? And then they re-released Black, which they added the leaderboards and I think it's an extra difficult, harder difficulty too. I can't remember. But with this one, they have all that in there. Plus, the new character, you could also play Hayabusa when you unlock it to try out like the bosses that you finish from the beginning to the end. You also have like the trials or whatever, you know, to compete with other people like that. I feel like this seems like a better package, in my opinion, than the previous games.
Yeah, and I like the way you phrase that, better package. I agree with that because I still have a like very like I don't want to. Yeah, I got a soft spot in my heart for Ninja Gaiden 2. Like, as I'm playing this, I still like, personally, I like 2 better, but I agree this is a better game, better package, because you get it all. And you get 2 characters, which I think is really cool. And Yakumo, I like him as a character. I liked his weapon sets. You know, it's like they're really clever weapons. And they kind of, in my opinion, every weapon is better than the last one. You keep getting all these new weapons. So that was really dope. And you really felt the Platinum Games influence. It's like a perfect marriage of like the controls of like Team Ninja and Platinum Games. So that was a very smart thing. It's just, everything's just so smooth and seamless. And yeah, if the game is not hard enough for you, you can do Master Ninja. There's also, like a training mode, which I think is really good. You could try different combos and everything. But I also enjoy how the game, you know, even though it does have a story, like it's very minimal. It really just wants to keep you, in the action, man. So that's really dope. And I wanted to say this because the main thing that kind of kept going through my head as I'm playing this, I'm like, yo, I miss these type of games because in the last, I want to say 10 years, action games have more or less, like games like Ninja Gaiden, Devil May Cry, Bayonetta, they've kind of taken a back seat to Souls-like games, you know, games that are more based on like the From Software thing. Those games are fine, but I'm like, can we just have the straight up, you know, skill-based action games like this? So I'm hoping that this game does well so we get a resurgence of that. Again, I love the Souls games, obviously, but I'm like, we need to go back to the original form because those games have a little bit too much going on in them sometimes. Like, but all the, like, this is just simple, pure action. And that was the main thing. I'm like, yo, I hope this brings back maybe we'll get a Devil May Cry 6 now. You know, maybe we'll get another Bayonetta. You never know. I miss that sort of stuff, man. But yeah, what do you think of it? Like, because I know you and I, we talked about this. I think it's a good place to go to it. What did you think of, like, Yakumo, the new character, versus, like, Hayabusa? Because I know some people were kind of worried about that. Me, personally, I think he's great, but I want to get your thoughts, and I'll jump in with
that. And you know what? You could tell the difference. Look, by the way, there's no spoilers in here.
No.
There's only going to be one thing that it's not considered a spoiler because we'll bring it up in a few minutes. But Yakumo, what's his name? Yakumo?
Yakumo, yeah.
Yakumo, yeah. There you go. So with Yakumo, I really like his style. He's a lot faster than Hayabusa. Way, way faster. You could even tell when you climb from wall to wall.
Yes, that was the main thing. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, so with Yakumo, he's like, right? With Hayabusa, it's like, fast, but like a little bit slower. Plus their fighting style. Yakumo is a lot faster. You switch weapons, all that stuff. And I think Hayabusa, a little bit slower, but stronger than Yakumo, right?
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed, and I got used to playing Yakumo from the beginning. Because here's the thing, and I know we're going to bring it up in a few minutes, but this was more of a Yakumo game than Hayabusa game. Yes. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because I see that as like, more as like passing the torch. You know, like how long Hayabusa is going to be around, you know, like there's going to be other people out there too, like, you know, growing up and doing the same thing like him. Like, I think I see that as more like a passing the torch type of game, you know what I'm saying? But I enjoyed it. It was challenging. Love his style. Love the different type of weapons you could choose. But here's the thing I was going to ask you too, Tony. Yeah. People brought that up that Ninja Gaiden is not known for switching weapons like this. You get what I'm saying? So what do you have to say about that for those that are worried about that part of the game in Ninja Gaiden 4?
To me, the switching the weapons is part of what makes the game great. Like, you're not just... Here's the thing. There are some games where it's like, oh, this weapon only works against this type of enemy. You're not restricted. If you just want to use the swords, you know, the main swords you get at the beginning, you could play the whole game like that. But I personally enjoy just switching back and forth because of the variety it gives you. So I don't really think that's a problem. So yes, if you want to stick to the swords, I guess for lack of a better term, play in a more traditional style, you could do that. But to me, I'm like, try everything, man. The weapon, I'm not, no spoilers, obviously, but the weapon I enjoyed the most, not the final weapon.
No,
you
they
get,
can't
but,
talk about the final. Can't talk about the
yeah,
final
yeah.
weapon.
Yeah, yeah, not that one, obviously, but the one you get right before that, I really enjoy that because it's such a versatile, interesting weapon. No spoilers here, but I'm like, because like the first couple of weapons are like standard weapons that you would see in other kind of games. This one is like, you kind of get two weapons in one. It's very interesting, you know? So I'm like, that's kind of, and then like, you know, the death animations you get for all the weapons are also very unique. So I would encourage people to try them all out. They're a lot of fun, but again, because there are some games where it's like, okay, you can only beat this enemy with this type of weapon. I really don't like that. This game doesn't restrict you. You use whatever weapon you want whenever you want.
Yeah, it depends on your mood. Like, hey, I want to have a weapon that takes, it's heavy, it's a little bit slower compared to the other weapons, but it takes a lot of damage. There's people that will like that. Or there's people like, hey, I want to use something that's light, but faster, it was going to take a longer time to beat that. I mean, I'm okay with that too. It all depends on your mood. And I love that you have that freedom to choose which weapons that you want. You know what I'm saying? So I think that was really, really cool.
Oh, and yeah. Now, I'm thinking about it now, Danny. I also like how you could upgrade every single weapon because, you know, as you fight enemies, you get like points and stuff, and you could use those points to upgrade your weapon. So it's like, if let's just say you don't like the base form of your weapon, you can upgrade it, you know, to have like more moves, more combos. I also like I'm forgetting the game now. It's kind of like a rage meter, like you hold down the L2 button, and then like you could make your weapon have a different type of moveset and stuff. It's just, there's so much you could do in this game. Like I wouldn't call myself like a pro gamer or whatever, so I'm pretty sure I wasn't even able to do half the stuff you can do. But even like, if you don't have like crazy skills, you're gonna get a lot of enjoyment because you get so many abilities for every weapon, and you could like, you know, sometimes switch them up mid combo and stuff. It's really clever what they did. Like you said, like you get more of a package in this game. Like even we reviewed it and we're like, yo, there's still more stuff we're discovering as we're playing it, you know? There's a lot of depth to it.
You know, Tony, I was going to ask you, I think, you know, reading what people were saying about the game based on the previews that they got to see before we got the review copies, I think a lot of people are not afraid, but they don't like change. They're used to playing the old way, the way that how we loved it back in 17 years ago, you know, when Ninja Gaiden 2, let's just say, right? Because 3 was whatever. But yeah, 2 yeah. was like the top one, right? And I think a game like that doesn't work in 2025. You need to do something new to make it better. And plus, it will bring a lot of new people to get into the genre too. But if you keep it the same, you know, the same thing from back in the day where it doesn't allow new people for newcomers to come in and play the game, I think that will hurt the genre, and it will hurt the game too because of that. So the way how they do it, how they develop this game, I feel like they have like stuff for like the hardcore fans that love the old way, right? But also newcomers too. So I love that balance, you know? So that's how I feel about this. What about you?
Yeah, no, there's something I told you, you know, before we were preparing for this, and this might be a little controversial. I wouldn't mind if the entire game was Yakumo. Like, he's such a strong character and stuff. And like you said, we already had games with Hayabusa in him. He doesn't always need to be the main guy, you know? So I'm fine with the new character. But I would still say, you know, just in case people were worried, this isn't like the old God of Wars versus the new God of Wars. They're very different type of games. This is still fundamentally Ninja Gaiden. The main thing is like, you know, the new character and the new weapon sets and slightly different kind of moves, but this is still a very fast paced action game. So I don't think people should be worried too much, but like you said, they just kind of get like that because they don't want change. But I'm like, this isn't as big of a change as you expect. This is still Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah. Now, if this game had a different name that is not Ninja Gaiden 2, do you think you would have felt the same way? Would this type of game would attract you? Like, hey, let me check this out. This game looks cool. Because that's the problem. Like, I think the name got everybody's attention because it's Ninja Gaiden is so well known, right? But if it had like a totally different name that has nothing to do with Ninja Gaiden, you think you would have been playing it?
I think I would, you know, what I would have been saying to myself would have been like, yo, this is Ninja Gaiden, bro. Like, it still feels like Ninja Gaiden, you know?
It so feels I'm
like,
it. Yep.
If you change the name, you'll be like, wait a minute, wait a minute, this is a Ninja Gaiden game. Why aren't they calling it a Ninja Gaiden? Like, mm-hmm. maybe the four is what's messing people up. I'm not sure. But I'm like, I didn't think about that. I'm like, to me, it felt like a natural progression. And I will admit, it's also because I didn't like three. And this is just way, way better than it. You know, so that helps. But no, I don't think, like, again, maybe you've seen some conversations. I haven't, but I'm like, yo, this is a straight up Ninja Gaiden game. You call it something else. I would have been like, why are these developers ripping off a Ninja Gaiden? Mm-hmm. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it's Ninja Gaiden.
Well, this is the part where it's not a spoiler. Again, this is not a spoiler. I know the developers talked about this because people were asking, hey, we only seen previews of Yakuma. What happened to Hayabusa? Is he in the game? Yes, he is in the game. You know, but here's a part where this might be controversial.
Uh-oh.
And again, the game is phenomenal. I love this game. This is like up there with my favorite games I played this year. Just want to put it out there, right? And I know you mentioned that you will be okay if it was just Yakumo, not Hayabusa in the game, right? I feel the way how Hayabusa came into the story kind of killed the vibe a bit. I don't know. I think you brought it up too, Tony, right? So like, I felt like it would have been better, in my opinion. You play with Yakumo the whole game, right? And then you unlock Hayabusa. You will see Hayabusa in the story, but you, like, imagine not being playable. And then when you finish the game, you go back and play Hayabusa's point of view. And you start from scratch, different enemies or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, that to me made more sense. But I think the way how he popped up in the story kind of killed the vibe. Because it was getting like really, really good in the game, right? And then he came, it was like not a pause, but I don't know, it was just like a weird vibe coming in the story, you know what I'm saying? So, because he was like, you were like really, really far within the story, really, really far. You have like a lot of new weapons and a lot of those stuff. And then he comes in, it's like, I don't know, it's weird. But I want to get your opinion about this because you also brought this up.
Yeah, and I'm going to mostly leave it for what you said because I don't want to spoil anything either. But yeah. Yes, I do agree that the way Hayabusa was integrated into the story, I felt could have been done better or, like you suggested, mm-hmm. have a separate one. Because to me, I'm like, wait, I just beat the game and I get to play another one? Yeah. Like, that would be cool. I'm not comfortable saying more than that. Like, you already know my thoughts, but yes, I agree. The way Hayabusa was introduced, don't get me wrong, I love me some Hayabusa. I'm glad he's in the game. I just felt it could have been done in a better way. And I think I'll leave it at that. Like, you know, obviously, if you guys want to talk to us after you've played the game, hit us up and we'll, you know, be happy to talk to you more about it. But yes, it could have been done better.
Yeah. Now, I know we brought up, you know, the bad, but the majority is good. Like, this game is a must-have. And I'm glad that it's also coming out on other platforms because, you know, it's going to be on PC, Xbox, and also PS5. I hope it comes out on the Switch, too, in the future. Who knows? But this game is incredible. Like, I enjoy the music, the gameplay. Story, I really didn't get much into the story. I don't know, maybe for you it was different. But I also love, graphically, let me tell you, plays in 120 frames per second. Oof. Phenomenal. But this game looks really, really good on my ultra wide screen too. Like, it's like, bro.
Always gotta pimp that, don't you?
I have to bring that up because, yo, it looks phenomenal in that, man. Really, really good, man. But yeah, man, like, I really enjoy this. Like, playing it remind me so much why I love games like Ninja Gaiden and Bayonetta and other games like that, you know? I would like to see more of that in the future, man. Because I really, like, playing this, I could tell, like, man, I missed this, man.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. Been a long, long time.
Yo, you bring this up because the game's obviously on different platforms. And this is such proof that the console war is dead. I'm playing this on PS5. What is the first thing I see when I boot it up? The very first thing. Xbox Studios, big green bold letters. You know, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is done. The whole thing is done.
Pretty much.
You know, and yeah. I specifically am like, I want this on PS5. Like, I want to kind of prove a point, you know? I mean, and even now we have Microsoft Flight Simulator on PS5. So it's like, okay, guys, this is done. But no, I agree with you. Real quick on the story, I'm not going to get into it, but I kind of agree with you. The story is kind of there just to get you to the next action scene. But with these games, I'm not there for the story. I just want to just hack stuff up.
Same.
Which is fine. I'm not going to get too into it, but the voice acting for not Yakubo was good, but not really the voice acting that I had a problem with. Some of the dialogue I felt was kind of cheesy for some of the characters. It felt like they were like, it was too, I know this is like, you know, not it's set in the past or anything, set in the future, but it just felt like too modern Twitter-ish kind of dialogue. You know, yeah. I'm like, I don't know about that. You know, there's one character specifically, one of the new ones, the way she talks, I didn't like it until the end of the game. Then it finally got better. But I'm like, I don't know about that. But Yakumo was, even when some kind of like goofy dialogue was going around, my man Yakumo was always there, like in the center. You know, he was always good. Mm-hmm. But other than that, again, the story, it served its purpose. It just got you to one place or another to kill stuff. And so that's fine, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with you about the dialogue. And I know you have an option. You have an option to put this in Japanese. So I didn't do that. I wasn't sure. Neither did I.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that you brought up that you play this on the PS5. Was this something that you wanted from the beginning? Because I thought you played this on PC, but you wanted to play on the PS5 from the beginning.
Yeah, I wanted to play on PS5 because I knew this game was like optimized for PS5 Pro specifically. So on PS5 Pro, you have two modes that are for that console. There's the, they call it the pro mode, which is 60 frames a second with all the graphical bells and whistles. And then there's also 120 FPS mode. Doesn't have like all the graphical stuff going on, but you do get to play at a higher frame rate to match your refresh rate of your television. I tried both. I liked 60 frames with all the graphics, you know, the ray tracing and all that. Yeah, because again, since this is and quote unquote an Xbox game, I wanted to play it on PS5, see what was up, specifically on the PS5 Pro. And I will say it is, because, you know, not I'm not trying to drag on PlayStation here, but I mostly been kind of disappointed with the PS5 Pro. It hasn't really delivered the goods in terms of like making games look its best. But I think with this game, like, I'm not going to say it's a night and day difference, but I think this game helps take better advantage of the Pro than some other games do, because like the only time the frame rate would go down is during cutscenes, which is strange, isn't it? It's like the whole game is like 60 frames, and then the cutscenes, even when you're playing it, because they're like pre-recorded, so they're just 30 frames. I wish they would stop doing that. But, you know, other than that, I thought it looked great and ran great on PS5.
Was there any features for the DualSense also? Because, you know, I remember playing Gears of War Reloaded on PS5. It was really cool playing it. Like the you could feel like the triggers is different than, you know, playing the Xbox console version. And also the sound effects. It was like conversation walkie talkie will pop only on the controller, and it was not on the TV. You know, so was there any from the PS5 version? Was there anything like that from the DualSense?
Controller. No, it was pretty standard stuff. You know, you get your rumble. Some stuff does come out of the speakers, but there's nothing like, you know, if you use a specific weapon, you got to like press this trigger harder. There wasn't anything like that. I will say though, like, this game will kill your battery. Like every time I finish playing it, because there's so much rumble, so much stuff going on. But now that I think about it, you're right. I wish they would have incorporated more DualSense features, but there really are none. Maybe I missed it, but like, yeah, you know how, for example, if you're playing Call of Duty and stuff and you're using specific guns, like each gun has a specific feel when you hold the trigger down. There's really nothing like that that I noticed. Maybe I'm wrong, but I didn't, nothing. Like usually if you're playing Astrobot, you know it. You know, like, whoa, there's all this crazy stuff going on. But with this one, not so much. But it didn't really detract from my enjoyment.
I think that would have been cool with the different weapons, right? Like, you could feel some of them are heavy, some of them are not, you know, based on, okay, cool. No, it's good to know. Good to know.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Another thing that I didn't bother to use that much was when you're playing Yakumo and you're running around, sometimes you meet this blackbird and a little house where...
Yeah.
It's like a vendor. Think of it like you will buy stuff for your character in there. The one with the bird, that character unlocks like new, it shows you like different type of moves that you could do in the game. And you also could have different conversation on whatever's happening at the moment with the story. You talk to them. And that's more for like, if you want to like get unlock new dialogue, you don't have to do that at all. You could just skip it. But I didn't really, let me see if it's the same with you. After a while, I didn't even bother going to the Blackbird. I was like, let me go to the vendor. Let me buy some stuff like to heal myself, get better potions and all that stuff, and then keep it moving. I didn't really bother training, doing that stuff. Did you bother doing that at all or no?
Nah, because I wanted to keep going just like you, you know? Yeah. Because you're right. You do get to a point where you've purchase every unlock that the Blackbird has. Yeah. I would still suggest people go to the Blackbird at least one time for every level, because you know you will unlock things like more like inventory slots, because you could have like I think they're called charms in the game, where it's like, oh, this charm gives you more attack power, this charm gives you more healing, but you mm-hmm. do get to a point where you don't need to visit them anymore. It's just like if you want to the dialogue to go on. But yeah, the little house that you go to, there's a proper name for this thing. I just can't remember. Yeah, but no, because yo, again, this game is very difficult. I was always constantly buying like health stuff,
same.
You know.
Same.
You know, but yeah, the little dialogue that they provide, it's not really important, like you say, but it's nice that it's there. But you're right, you do get to a point where you don't need to visit the Raven too much, you know. Although I do like how the Raven's eyes are like red and they glow and stuff, like you know where it is.
Mm-hmm. Now another thing that I have to bring up, man, is also there's so much blood in this game. Oh mm-hmm. my god, more than two. Katu was bloody. This thing, put it this way, it's so much blood in this game that even Yakumo, your character, when you show like a cutscene or whatever, he's like, you run around with blood on your suit, like it's like a lot. so what'd you thought about that, like seeing that? Because it wasn't, I remember the back in the days, you see the blood and it will go away. This thing is like stuck to your character the whole time.
Yeah. No, again, because I love blood and gore. I love that stuff. So yeah, yeah. I'm like, give me more of it. Okay, I'm going to say this and I'm going to be very careful about it, because I also like how you will go through a level, right, and you kill a bunch of enemies, and then later on you'll revisit that level again. The blood is still on the floor and on the walls and everything.
Like, yo, I didn't even notice about that. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I totally forgot about that. You're right.
Yeah, so it's like, yo, this game remembers it, and you're right, but it is kind of funny. It's like, there may be a scene that's a little bit more intimate, like, but Yakumo's covered in blood.
Like, he's like having a serious conversation. Yeah. He's blooded. What the heck?
And I'm like, yo, I don't even know what color your outfit is. I'm guessing it's red, because you know it is black, obviously. But it's like, he, like to you, if you didn't know, you're like, oh, he's a red ninja. No, mm-hmm. that's just blood all over him.
Mm-hmm. And Tony, anything else you want to bring up too that you haven't talked about yet?
I think I pretty much covered everything. Again, my main thing is, like, I'm really glad to have these type of games again, you know. And think about it, Danny, we actually got three Ninja Gaiden games this year, right? Because we got two brand new ones, this one, and then we got Ninja Gaiden 2 back.
Ninja Gaiden 2,
yeah. I really think when Ninja Gaiden 2 was re-released, it really set the stage for this one, you know? But yeah, if you miss these type of games, Devil May Cry, Bayonetta, all that, definitely give this one a shot. It you know, it's great. It's going to be very challenging, but in a fair way. And you know, if you're tired of these games that are just 50,000 hours long, that take forever, you could beat this in a weekend, you know. It's all good. And I love it, man. And also, again, it's just wild, I'm playing this on my PS5, first thing I see is Xbox, so you know, that's kind of interesting too, you know.
I'm already used to it. I already see multiple games already on PS5.
Oh, and there's gonna be more coming, you know. I also want to test this on, like, the ROG Ally, you know, yeah, the Xbox Ally.
That's something that I really want to check out, the PC version, to see how that's going to play on the Ally, if I get it. But we'll see.
Yeah, there's other things I want to say, but obviously no spoilers. But no, the game spoilers. Is great, man. The game is great, you know.
I was going to ask you, who do you think will win a battle between Yakumo Hayabusa?
No spoilers, obviously.
No spoilers. But like, let's say separate life, whatever. They get together and they fight for the first time. Like, you know, whatever.
For the first time. Yeah. I think.
That has nothing to do with the game. Ninja Gaiden 4. Nothing to do with the game. Based on the styles.
Yeah. I think, okay, so Hayabusa has the edge in terms of, like, experience. But Yakumo has the edge in terms of weapons. Right, so I like it. Might be one of those things where they fight, and then you don't get to see who the winner is. You know,
yeah.
Oh, man. So yeah, I can't really answer. That's a tough one.
Yeah, because you know, that's the thing people are gonna bring up. Man, I like Hayabusa better, you know, or I like Yakumo better. And to me, it all depends on your style, man. Like,
yeah,
do you like fast pace? What type of weapons do you like? You know, because there's weapons that Yakumo has that Hayabusa doesn't have. You know, so. But Hayabusa is a little bit slower, but stronger. Way more powerful than Yakumo, you know? So that's why I brought it up. Like, hey, what you think? Who do you think will win in a battle? Just randomly.
Yeah. But, you know, since you asked, you know, and this is a question I want to ask to the fans, since it is the year of the ninja, right? Like, who is your favorite video game ninja? Ryu Hayabusa, right, from Ninja Gaiden, or Joe Higashi from Shinobi?
Ooh,
I want to hear people's thoughts.
Man, that's a great question. For me, I think Ninja Gaiden, they both have a place in my heart, both of them, a special place in my heart, right? But I think Ninja Gaiden was the one I connected first, and I'll never forget playing the original game from the NES, you know, and then fast forward from the original Xbox playing Ninja Gaiden. I'm like, bro, I remember it took me forever just to beat that first boss because it was so tough. But once you beat him, like, oh man, this is amazing. And then beating the game, mind blowing, you know? So I think I'll go with Ninja Gaiden. How'd you
play? Not to copy you, but I'm going to go with Hayabusa too. And I think it's just because I've played with Hayabusa in more games than like Higashi, right? Like, you know, not only do we have, like, you know, the Ninja Gaiden games, but Dead or Alive. He's one of my favorite characters in the Dead or Alive games, you know? That's why I always, like, a lot of people just call him Ryu, right? But I always call him Hayabusa because that's what his name said and his life bar in Dead or Alive. But I've just had more experience with him. But I will say I am glad Joe Higashi is back because, you know, Shinobi Art of Vengeance is great, you know?
It is great.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was going to ask you, because I forgot to ask you this question. What you thought about the enemies in the game?
Oh, yes.
And the bosses. And the bosses separately.
Yeah, I think, so the enemies, they were mostly pretty good. I think, now that I'm thinking about it, the variety probably could have been a little bit better because, and this is not a problem with just this game. This happens with every fighting game, or action game, where it's like, you kind of start seeing the same enemies over and over and over again, so it gets a little repetitious. But the highlight is the bosses. Every boss is very unique to each other. They will definitely challenge you. That's where you really got to start mixing it up with the weapons, I feel. And also, look at the prompts. Like, for example, you could use like the wind to glide a little bit or whatever, because you're going to want to stay out of the way. And I like how the bosses really teach you how to play the game, or not teach, they force you how to play the game correctly, because they're crazy. But yeah, the regular enemies, some of them could be pretty tough, I think, but once you kind of get the feel for them, like, it's fine. Although when they throw like 10 at you, that's when it's like, yo, keep moving, bro, you're gonna get messed up, you know. But what would you think of the enemy variety in this game?
No, I agree with you about that part where you could tell, like, okay, it's getting a little bit repetitive. But there's a lot of new enemies that pop up too in the game, like just regular enemies later in the game. You'll see some new ones there. Bosses, bro, they're a totally. I mean, that's the highlight of any Ninja Gaiden game is the bosses. Yeah. The bosses was really, really cool, man. Even the first boss, I'm like, yo, if this is the first, I can imagine later in the game, you know? So. Yeah, I think that was the highlight for me, bosses. But enemies, regular, it was a little challenging. I mean, I haven't tried Master Ninja. Have you tried that?
No, I haven't tried it yet, you know?
Bro, I'm a little nervous because I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to be hard. But yeah, people should definitely check it out. And I was also curious to see, you know, how people were doing. Like, every time you finish a level and you beat the boss,
yeah,
I will always check out the leaderboards. I don't know if you even bothered to see.
I haven't checked that out. I should do that.
You should do that because it's interesting. Because I'm like, I'm curious, like, how fast are people are killing these bosses? You know, especially when you go to the trials.
Yeah,
the trials. All you do there is just fight the bosses. That's it. You pick Hayabusa or Yakumo, and there, after you finish it, it will tell you how long it took people to beat that boss. You know, so it is interesting seeing that.
Yeah, I got to do more of the trials because I mostly just stuck to the main game, you know, because obviously we got the embargo coming, you know, at the time of recording. So I didn't get to try that, but I feel like if you really want to challenge yourself, you got to check out those trials. I tried one or two of them. Like, yo, this is crazy. So, yeah, I'm glad they're in there. Like you said, you get the fuller, like, package because of stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, let me tell you, like, that's the thing that I loved about Ninja Gaiden Black and also Ninja Gaiden 2 Black. The reason is difficulty and also checking out the leaderboards. Like, you want to compete. It reminds me of, like, you know, when you play a game like Geometry Wars, you beat it and you want to see, like, how other people are doing, like, from your friend list and all that, so that you could compete. That's the part that I love about so much about Ninja Gaiden 4 is that that's already included in there. And honestly speaking, if you're paying full price for the PS5 version or you download this on Game Pass, yo, just don't play just the story. You got to try out everything, like the training mode, try out the trials, change the difficulty, like take advantage of everything that's in the game. Yeah. If you really, really want to enjoy Ninja Gaiden, and of course do the story, of course, you know, but that's why I always bring that up. Like, that was like the huge, huge highlight for me was Ninja Gaiden 2 and 1 was that in there, you know, that was included in there after the game release, you know, so.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the leaderboards after the fact, because obviously right now you and I only see like the people who got the review copy. So it'll be interesting to see once the regular, like right now, obviously you guys are all playing it. So it'll be cool to see how the leaderboards change after that.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think I beat the first three bosses on trials, and I think boss two or three, it was one of those two, where I checked the leaderboard, I think I was like number 9. I was like, yo,
that's what's up.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Top 10.
But let me tell you, I know people that played Ninja Gaiden Black, the original one. Bro, they were like top of the world for like a couple of days. I'm like, bro, that's not easy to do. But it feels good seeing that, you know? Like, I love leaderboards. I think there's a lot of games don't have that in there anymore. Like, I think people are just worried so much about like ranks but leaderboards reminded me, that's the thing that we grew up back in the day, seeing
arcades,
like the arcades, leaderboards, you know, and that's how, believe it or not, that's how achievements and trophies got created.
Yep.
Because people will be in the top 10 of the leaderboard and using the arcade, they will take the picture, send it to the studio, and the studio will send them like a very unique patch for you. It's like an they consider it as an achievement, you know, so I would love to see more games adding leaderboards in the future like that, you know, instead of not having it. Yeah. Just want to bring that up. But Tony, man, thank you so much for reviewing the last game of the year of the Ninja. Ninja Gaiden 4, I mean. Thank you so much, man, for joining, man. Anything else you want to bring up?
Yeah, no, I always, you know, thank you for asking me, like, when you ask me, like, yo, you want to do this, record this, you know, review of this game, I'm like, I didn't hesitate. I'm like, yo, let's do it, bro.
Yeah.
Because we had so much fun with the last one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very selective with the game. Like, I was like, yo, I know me and Tony will spend like an hour talking about this. I got to bring him on. You know, like, I'm very selective on what type of games, you know, not every game. But this was like special because we have a lot of history with Ninja Gaiden and also Shinobi and all these other games. I'm like, and Street Fighter, Streets of Rage. Then I'm like, no, Tony have to be here.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And then, you know, obviously we talked about Itagaki too. We had to do that because this game is part of his legacy. So it all kind of came together. But yeah, again, just thank you so much, man. Like, this was a lot of fun, and I'm pretty sure, you know, the fans will enjoy it as much as we did talking.
And I think to end it on this note, what do you think Itagaki would have thought about this game?
Ooh, that's a good question, because Itagaki, he liked talking smack. So I don't know, like, if he would have liked it or not. I would hope he would have, because it really is objectively a really good game. Like, I would like to think that he'd be like, hey, these guys, they got it right, you know, because I haven't read his interview, so I'm pretty sure he didn't like 3, right? So I would like to believe that he would enjoy this one, or at least appreciate what they were trying to do, because in my opinion, it honors not only the legacy of the Ninja Gaiden series, but also Itagaki's legacy as a game developer.
I wonder if he would have liked Yakumo, though.
That's a good question.
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. All right, everyone. But thank you so much for listening or watching the review of Ninja Gaiden 4. Tony, make sure everyone check out Tony's podcast, The Throwdown Show. You want to talk about it real quick?
Yeah, thank you. I'm so into the conversation, I forgot I got to plug my stuff.
Plug your stuff, man.
So, yes, you can check me out on The Throwdown Show podcast. We go live on Twitch and YouTube every Thursday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. That's Throwdown Show, 2 words. Obviously, you know, we will be talking about Ninja Gaiden 4. And also, please check out tomsguide.com, not only for my work, but all the work that my colleagues do. And also, please subscribe to the Tom's Guide YouTube channel. Like, I'm the handheld guy there. Like, if there's a new handheld, I'm talking about it. I got my review of the Xbox ROG Ally there. Got my review of the Legion Go. We also did a really cool, like, kind of mini series called Handheld like Takedown, where it's like we started with 8 and then whittled it down until we got a winner. So go check that out. And again, Danny, thanks for having me on. But this was a blast, bro.
Hey man, you're a legend, bro. You're a legend in this, man. You know, no, everyone, thank you so much. Make sure to head over to gamertagradio.com. And first of all, I have a personal YouTube channel where I post my stuff in there, especially my interviews, because I know people have been asking, hey, why we don't see videos of like this on the Gamertag Radio YouTube channel. And I'm like, that channel is more for like the audio side, because, you know, we connected with our podcasting host, gets all the stats from like Spotify, everywhere, plus YouTube. So that's what we have right there. But separately, you know, we have Twitch, we have my personal channel, Danny Pena, and also Paris has his personal channel there too, where he also create content. Sometimes we'll do it together for Gamertag Radio. He'll put it on his channel. So make sure subscribe there too, man. So I just want to bring that up because people have been asking the same question over and over. I'm like, no, this is not it. So, but that's about it. Everyone, thank you so much. And we'll be back here. Remember, I have a couple surprises coming up. Couple surprises and more reviews. Very, very soon. So stay tuned. All right. Until next time, we're out. Bye.
Peace.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.